You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Today, we are going back to Thursday, June 25th, 1908.
So specific.
I know. Are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine with me, Jeff?
Is it a DeLorean?
All right, so here we go. June 25th, 1908. It was a hot, murky day with intermittent rain falling during the morning and afternoon. In spite of the humidity, people from all over the surrounding territory gathered in Mankato to attend the traveling circus. Little unaware that as the day progressed, and several persons became ill, a severe epidemic in the history of Mankato was developing. Today, we will explore the typhoid fever epidemic of 1908. Sit back and be surrounded by history. So the Minnesota River was normal in its height early that spring of 1908. There had been no great amount of snow during the winter. But throughout the spring, rain fell almost continuously. And on June 25th, the river reached its highest point that year. Minnesota Street, Poplar Street, and Mound Avenue were flooded, causing several families to move out for higher ground. However, no great concern over the river's height was apparently felt by the majority of citizens as they made plans to attend the Hagenbach and Wallace Circus and Animal Show. Dr. A.G. Liedloff, he was a Blue Earth County physician and the 2nd District Health Department officer, was not feeling well during the day and declined a friend's invitation to attend the circus that evening on June 25th. Unfortunately, before he returned home from work that evening, he started feeling quite ill. In fact, the next morning, Dr. Liedloff noticed scum forming on some water boiling in a pan on his kitchen stove. In the meantime, he had been getting calls during the evening and early morning from patients complaining of cramps. This situation seemed to develop rapidly throughout the city. And later on Friday morning, the next day, several Mankato doctors consulted the city health officer, Dr. A.O. Belgeland, sorry for the Norwegian, can't pronounce it. He attributed the outbreak to fresh vegetables, flies, and the hot and humid weather. So at this time, it was customary to display your fruits and vegetables on stands in front of your store. There was no Hy-Vee, no Cub Foods,
right.
No go inside and that's where you pick out your vegetables. You would go to your little neighborhood store and out front, they would have all of the fruits and vegetables displayed.
Very movie-like in my mind.
Very movie-like. Right. Exactly. So, and later these stands were required to be covered with mosquito netting, which if colored, often faded onto the fruits and vegetables.
Oh.
So also every spring and summer brought hordes of flies, especially into the downtown district. The merchants resorted to suspending rotary fans near the doorways, as well as hanging spools of sticky fly paper and streamers from the ceiling. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, yeah. So appetizing to see in a restaurant or in a grocery store.
Exactly. Such of these, though, these streamers hanging with flies was a very familiar sight that I think all of us are familiar with seeing. Much of the fly problem was due to keeping animals in town. So horses, cows, chickens were allowed to be in town because this was still a very rural city.
Right, 1908.
And the garbage disposal problems at this time, we can only about imagine. We're also, think about this, we also still have horse and buggies. So you've got some manure being left behind and things like that as well. So not a great sanitary time.
Right.
So this doctor, the city health officer, he said, oh, well, the reason people are getting sick is because they probably ate some fruit or a vegetable that was contaminated by flies. So the Mankato doctors were very skeptical of that response, and they questioned, what one thing could affect so many people? Milk was ruled out, as there were many different sources for that supply, not just one. The city water was also ruled out as a possible cause after consulting with the chairman of the Board of Public Works, Mr. M.B. Haynes. The explanation given was that there was 90 pounds of pressure in the city water system and that no containment could possibly enter. Estimates that at least 3,500 up to 6,000 cases of gastrointestinal illnesses resulted during the week of June 25th.
Wow.
Most people recovered in a few days. The state health department was contacted and assistance was sent. An investigation was conducted, but no conclusions were reached immediately as to the cause of the outbreak. On Sunday morning, just a few days later, on June 25th, Dr. Julius Hilscher went to the 3rd Street Well and Pumping Station near the Minnesota River with the city engineer, Mr. Lentz. The well was covered with planking, so the two men raised the boards and peered into the well pit. And what do you think they saw? But raw sewage.
Oh.
Sewage which had backed up through the S-trap into the well pit. Consequently, the contaminated water was pumped directly into the city reservoir on top of the hill, which, if you remember, we kind of talked about that when we talked about Highland Park,
right,
way back in a previous podcast. And the water was coming down Main Street as part of the system, mm-hmm, and spreading both ways into the city water mains. For at least 3 days, the end gate at the river, which was to prevent the water from backing up into the sewer, had been closed. Orders were immediately given to Mankato residents to boil all drinking water. So here it is, the story in a nutshell. This is what happened. After there was heavy rain on Thursday, June 25th, with the Minnesota River already at flood stage, the storm sewer on Washington Street between Front and Broad Streets was closed and not properly connected to the mains leading to the 3rd Street pumping station. In fact, the surface rainwater was so deep on that corner that a boat could travel over the entire street area.
Wow.
The surface water found its way into the well cistern, which contaminated the city water. And within 12 to 15 hours, anyone who drank the contaminated water became very ill with cramps and diarrhea. However, this was not the end of the epidemic. It was not only a short 3 days. Shortly after the epidemic began, an attempt was made to rid the water supply of contamination by opening up the so-called dead-end hydrants. When this was done, it only resulted in sucking the contaminated water out into all of the residential districts. So now we have an entire system that is contaminated, not just one little area that's contaminated.
Why did they think that was going to work? If it obviously, I mean, it was so failure. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So they thought that, well, these are dead ends, so let's just flush them. But what it did is it reversed it and sucked it all the way through the whole system.
Interesting. Okay.
So it wasn't until the 4th of July, remember this all started on June 25th, it wasn't until the 4th of July that the first cases of typhoid fever were diagnosed. Typhoid fever is a highly contagious disease that is caused by contaminated water or food. It usually takes 14 days to develop after drinking contaminated water or food. Symptoms include cramps, diarrhea, and a sustained high fever for several days. Every doctor in the city was called to care for the people as the fever spread to nearly every home in Mankato. The hospitals were filled to capacity. Operating rooms were ordered closed except for emergency operations only. The residents of the old Willard Mansion, which at that time was being used as a nursing home, were moved out to make room for typhoid patients.
All right, hold up. So the hospitals... is it the two that are still down near Washington Park?
That were down at Washington Park that we talked about.
Yep, in our, as in our podcast. We talked about one was the Emmanuel and one was the St. Joseph's.
Exactly.
And they're right across the street from each other, right?
Exactly.
And one would be the Downtowner and right?
Yes.
And I don't know what the other building's called, but...
The other building, well, it's...
They look
the
like hospitals.
Gus Johnson Plaza.
Okay, yes. And they still look like hospitals now.
Right. And the Willard Mansion...
That's where I was going next.
...was near in that area as well.
Okay, is that still standing?
No.
Okay. So why is it? Is that just a famous guy in town, Willard?
Yeah. He was one of the founders.
Oh.
Not the founder, but he ended up early, late 1800s, early 1900s, very prominent family.
All right. I just wanted to ask. And also I wanted to show off my prowess of the hospital locations.
I love it.
Because I pay attention when we talk.
I love it. So we've talked about the well that was up at Highland Park. And now we've talked about what's happening down at Washington Park. Both of those are two different podcasts we've done. So if you want more, we definitely encourage you to go check those out. So also in this area is St. Pete's and Paul's school. So the sisters, they cleaned and scrubbed the whole school. They removed seats, and the classrooms were also turned into hospital wards.
Wow.
So just imagine the volume of people.
So there was a lot of people coming into the hospital this time.
It was, but many people were treated in their homes. So especially the people that were secondary typhoid patients. So they became ill from the fever after being in contact with someone else who had been sick by drinking the water.
Oh, it ends up being a full-on epidemic like we have with the COVID.
Yep.
That it's not just that one thing you can be contracted through water. Now it's somebody... breathing or whatever, like it is. Okay.
Yep. So they're
scary.
So they're going to be. So this will kind of explain how it spread. So here's an example: 1 9-year-old little boy. He became ill with typhoid. He was cared for at home by his mother and his sister. The doctor placed a bichloride solution near the door of the sick room and instructed the mother and sister to wash their hands in the solution every time they entered or left the room. He also gave strict orders to the mother and sister not to eat in the room. Later, the doctor found the mother eating off a tray beside the boy's bed. Needless to say, she and her daughter developed typhoid and had to be taken to the hospital. The boy, who became delirious because of the fever, was taken to the Willard home, and 6 weeks later... When his mind had finally cleared, the 9-year-old boy declared he had never seen his doctor before.
Oh, my gosh.
So
was that just fried because of the fever?
Just because of the fever.
Oh, wow.
It was a very, very, it was a high fever that sustained for multiple days. Like in the 102s to 104s was where this fever sustains for multiple days.
Oh, my gosh.
So... You would get exposed to it just by your breathing, but by your saliva, or if you were cleaning up after someone,
okay.
You know, so
eating off their tray,
eating the food off of their tray would also contribute to that. So the recommended treatment at this time was a liquid diet. No solid food was given until after 10 days of a normal temperature and rest, and there was no medication for it.
Wow.
So many people who fell victim to the fever did not seek medical aid. One of the reasons being their fear of going to a hospital. Remember, this is 1908. So fears of going to the hospital kept a lot of people at home. So although we're talking about the hospitals and having them open, there's still a lot of people who are too afraid to go.
Right.
Health officers said that more control of typhoid could have been exercised if all ill persons could have been hospitalized.
Interesting.
Although residents have been warned to boil their water, they also obtain water in cans from extra hydrants installed at an artesian well in front of Hubbard Mill. The Mankato Gas and Electric Company also had a deep artesian well. So they did have access to fresh water. It just wasn't going to be something easily accessible for them. The peak of the epidemic was reached during the third week following the outbreak on July 4th, but it lasted well into February the following year.
Wow.
Because recuperation was slow after the fever finally disappeared, and also because the patients lost a lot of weight, so to get their strength back up took a long time as well.
Okay.
A sanitary engineer, John Wilson, was hired during the outbreak, and Dr. H.M. Bracken, Secretary of the State Department of Health, and Dr. W.H. Hill, the epidemiologist, together with two health nurses, made a house-to-house canvas to record contacts and secondary cases, as well as to find walking cases, those who were unaware they were even carrying the germ. Mm-hmm. The health department reported 506 cases of typhoid fever during the epidemic in Mankato and North Mankato, with 35 of the cases fatal. However, it was estimated that there were about one-third more cases which were never found because of the mildness of the attack. Furthermore, the report did not record the number of cases or deaths occurring in the surrounding area.
Before you go, I was just listening to you read through this. One, it reminds me a lot of our talk with the Spanish flu.
Yep.
Like the fact that the Spanish, we talked about this almost a year ago, I guess, already, right? And one of our podcasts talked about the Spanish flu in 1918 and how we still had a fair in Mankato during the middle of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And here, in the case, people were, you know, worried and they had to take care of themselves. But it still lasted how long?
Okay, so I didn't put it in here, but yeah, they had a fair
during this time too.
Yeah, shortly after the 4th of July,
another fair.
Yeah, just a carnival, and you just, know, like a week long carnival.
Just kind of kept on going
for the summer.
It would have been. It's intriguing that how this goes about. And like in the Spanish flu, I don't remember the death toll in Mankato during the Spanish flu, but 35. Is still a big number. I mean, people who passed away because of this.
Well, at that time, population was probably around 10,000.
Okay. Well, then if it's 10,000, then you said 6,000 possibly had this. I mean, that's a big number of residents who had typhoid.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, and then or half had, of the, and how had, many more didn't even know they had it?
Right. At least have people who had gotten exposed to it in
some
way.
Right.
So it does have some strange. I mean, but this is. I think this is this kind of shows. I'm hoping that in a way that this kind of shows that. You know, that we have been living through history with the recent pandemic. This is not called a pandemic. This is an epidemic. The difference is a pandemic is global and an epidemic is localized.
It was regionalized. And it was mainly just here, people, anybody who visited Mankato or whatever.
Right. But it was common also. So there was, I think, before the one hit in Mankato, there was around Chicago. They were struggling with it at the same time. But you also have to think about the sanitary system, the water systems. I mean, this is still a very primitive compared to what we have now.
Right. I mean,
so very easy
just
for
turn of the century equipment probably being used.
Exactly. So very easy for cases to rise during this time period. In the United States now, this is not common.
Right.
It is still, typhoid fever does still exist in the world, especially to places where they do have that that limited sanitary systems things like that.
And then there's just water issues in general. Of course, Flint, Michigan has their issues that I believe are still a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
interesting. Yes. So back to 1908. No, it's all good because it all relates. And that's what I think that's the big thing that you and I love so much is that's why we say we're surrounded by history. Because yes, this happened in 1908, but there's so many things that are similar to the awareness that we now have a year later with COVID-19. And it's history repeating itself in a slightly different way, but being aware of the past helps us understand the present.
Absolutely.
So this next piece that I'm going to read for you is very similar if you all think back a year ago. So in 1908, Front Street was deserted. Front Street was the main street that where all business commerce was in downtown. Front Street that summer, that hot summer of 1908, was deserted. Traffic was very slight and businesses just limped along. As news of the typhoid epidemic spread throughout the state, Mankato became a city to avoid. A traveling salesman who resided in the city and whose only child died during the epidemic left Mankato vowing never to return or wanting to see this place again. It was several years before Mankato lived down the fear of its water, and as a result, the city did not play host to meetings or conventions for a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just all things to kind of think about in regards to an epidemic that hit our area back in 1908. So we hope you enjoyed today's program as we took the Wayback Machine to the summer of 1908 with record flooding and typhoid fever epidemic. All of the information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.